Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
We've got two young children at our house, and so, you know, we've got a three-year-old and an almost one-year-old in a couple weeks. And so I've noticed that they don't make toys like they used to. You notice that? When I was a kid, if you had a Tonka truck, that thing could double as a weapon. Now it's made out of plastic. It doesn't really do any damage if you throw the thing. It doesn't really help. Some of you, I know you like me, you grew up drinking Dr. Pepper. I mean, if you need to pick me up, you just grab a Dr. Pepper and you down that thing and you're ready to go for another, you know, 2 hours at least. Did you know that Dr. Pepper today has 33% less sugar than it used to? What a ripoff. I mean, come on. It's not that the cans just look different. You know, phones, some of you remember this, phones used to have cords. There was like a bare spot in your house because that's the only place you could walk and talk on the phone back in those days. It's not that people have just started walking and talking with their cell phones. It's just that before we were all tied to one wall and we just paced back and forth. You know, things aren't like they used to. Once upon a time, you know, some builders have told me that if you went to the hardware store and you bought a 2x4, that 2x4 came really close to meaning like close to 2 inches by close to 4 inches. Now, how many know if you go buy a 2x4, that's not what it is? They don't make those like they used to. When I was a kid, a personal media player was something we called a Walkman. And you could only play one tape at a time. And so if you were on your morning jog and you wanted to listen to a different artist, you were sunk. Unless you made a mixtape. And then you were okay. But today, you know, you can listen to anything. Some things just aren't how they used to be. But that could be good news too, couldn't it? I don't know, it's bad news in some ways that things aren't like they used to be. But it could be good news. Like, I'm not upset that we're sitting in a climate-controlled room this morning, right? I'm not upset about that. I'm not upset that we got to drive a car to church today instead of a horse and buggy. That doesn't make me mad. I'm not upset that we have restrooms inside the building instead of across the parking lot. Brother Harris, I heard that was a source of conflict once upon a time. I may bring that up again later. I'm glad about those, but I'm also glad that the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse number 17, I like these the first few words. It says that in the last days, God says, not some preacher, not some popular opinion, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. I'm kind of glad that things aren't like they used to be. But Brother Joey, I'm also glad that I can say upon the authority of God's word, things aren't exactly like they're going to be. Because upon the authority of God's word, we can believe that the best is yet to come when it comes from what God wants to do in our lives. Amen? He always has more for us. We're going to look this morning at a scripture in Haggai chapter 2, a very familiar portion of scripture, I'm sure, for many of us in this room. In Haggai chapter 2, it says, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, and he spoke to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, to Joshua. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, you just skipped the word. Have you ever prayed, Lord, why can't the people in the Bible just be named Matthew, Mark, and John? All of them. Or Bob, or Sue. What's up with this? And he asked this question in verse number 2. Who of you is left who saw this house in the former glory? And how does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing? But be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all ye people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I'm with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I coveted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will shake once more the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this word we've heard. And Lord, other scriptures we're going to dive into in a few moments. And we pray this prayer this morning. Lord, that you will anoint me above my own ability to speak the words of God and the words of God alone. And anoint our ears to hear exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to say to this as a church, to us as a church and to us as individuals. And we commit ourselves to responding to what the Holy Spirit says. And we're going to give you thanks in advance for what you say to us today. And all God's people said amen. Amen. Essentially, when you read the book of Haggai, essentially you discover that the people of God are convinced that things will never be as good as they once were. They think there's been too much destruction, there's been too much harm, too much loss, and too little left. They believe that the best is in the past. They believe the best for their church was in the past. They believe the best for their people was in the past. They believe that the best plan that God has for them was in the past. Let me ask you a question this morning. I know it's kind of penetrating, but let me ask it anyway. Have you ever had a moment where you felt like your best was in the past? See, as a church, we've adopted this semester. You saw one of our banners when you walked in the front doors this morning. We believe that the best is yet to come. I don't believe as a follower of Jesus that your best is ever in the past. But that's exactly where the people of Haggai were speaking to. That's exactly what they believe. They were convinced that their best days was behind them instead of ahead of them. But I'm going to remind you this morning what 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9 says to us this morning. It says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those that love him. How many of you in this room this morning are people that love God? That means that God has more for you than you could ever imagine. That means the best is yet to come. So we as a church, we're just proclaiming this year that the best is yet to come. The psalmist said in Psalms 103, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how high God's thoughts are above our thoughts. So that means that what he has in front of us is greater than what's behind us. And what he wants to do in us is much better than anything we could ever imagine. So we are saying as a church, and I want us to say this morning, Lord, we want your best. Amen? We want God's best. I don't want to arrive at heaven and discover that there was more on earth that God would have done in me and through me, or in us or through us, than he was allowed to do because we didn't contend for the best that God has for us. So this morning, I want to talk to you about this real quickly. Knowing the best is yet to come, how should we live right now? Knowing the best is yet to come, what truth should I be embracing today? And knowing the best is yet to come, what action should I take right now? I want to give you three or four things to do this morning, how we can prepare for the best that God wants to come to our life. Here's the first thing we can do, is we must realize that the past is a platform, our foundation, for what God wants to do today and in our future. The Bible starts in verse number 3. Haggai begins asking this question. Who saw the house in the former glory? And he asks the next question. How does it look to you now? He actually begins to ask the people of God. I want you to take a few minutes, the prophet saying. I want you to begin to rehearse how things used to be. That's one thing we've done. One reason we're doing this today is we want to take just a few moments and rehearse how things used to be. And we want to rehearse what God has done, because we believe that what God has done is a foundation for what he wants to do. We believe what God has done in the past, he wants to do again. But we also believe that what he's done in the past, he wants us to build upon that and even do more. So today, one reason we've gathered together is that we could just relive and recount the faithfulness of God in the past, so that we can begin trusting him for the future. So I want to point your eyes to the screen and look with me real quick about some more stuff that God's done in the past.
Have you ever wondered about how our church began? In the beginning, a small band of believers led by the Holy Spirit embarked on a journey that has led us to this very spot. It was in the year 1938 when our charter members received their Articles of Incorporation to the Assembly of God that was purchased from the African Methodist Episcopal Conference. Under the pastorate of Brother Edward Russell in a congregation of 13, the Assembly of God Church in Cabot, Arkansas was born at 501 North Lincoln Street. Despite the hardship our country was facing during this time, our church continued to be a beacon of hope to the community, multiplying to membership of 40. Over the next decade, our church was led by 11 anointed pastors with a passion for God's Word. A single young man by the name of Charles Harris struck the hearts of the members through his compassion for the gospel, which created a spirit of evangelism. Our church began to draw the lost, one of those being Brother William Archer. He received salvation on a stormy night in the midst of a revival, changing his life. Pastor Harris was a true blessing with an ear to listen and a heart to pray for our community. As the clock of time continued to wind, another young man by the name of Timon Jenkins was drawn to the Assembly of God Church. Pastor Jenkins spent time in prayer and fasting, preparing himself for ministry in Cabot. He began to extend the schedule with Sunday night services, Tuesday night prayer meetings for more opportunities to encounter God's presence. With a dedication from the believers and the faithfulness of God, he and the congregation raised the funds to expand their facility with a new annex building for Sunday school rooms and indoor restrooms. After years of shepherding, Pastor Jenkins passed the pulpit to Pastor Don Jones and a favorite evangelist, Pastor Bob Huey. The church progressed forward with the mission of God by beginning Royal Rangers, Men's Fellowship, and Women's Ministry. During the history of our church, there have been many challenges, a destroying fire in the annex building, and a terrifying tornado.
Sunrise at Cabot. Following yesterday's devastating storm, its rays fell on a city of rubble. The light of a new and brighter day revealed the severity of yesterday's killer tornado.
Weren't you scared to death? And I said, you know what? I was in the safest place in town. Every parent in Cabot was praying for that school.
God has, is, and always will be in control, using all things for the good of those that love him. Our church built stronger physically and spiritually with the Gunter family coming on board to lead. For 14 years, Pastor Gunter ministered, prayed, and parented the First Assembly of God. Their love and direct personalities glued the parishioners together to be one big family of believers. As the church attendance began to rise, so did the need for a larger property. God provided our current location today to remedy the situation of expansion.
It's like you couldn't hardly wait to come to church because you knew what God was going to do. And that's just the way it was.
As seasons changed for the Gunter family, Pastor Jerry Bell was called to lead the church. On August 17, 1988, the church held its first service in what is now the educational building. The church was truly blessed with the guidance of Pastor Bell. From 1991 to 2005, Pastor Kramer, along with his family, led our church. Again, faced with growth of the church, we expanded with a new sanctuary building in 1994. Our church started to become mission-minded with several mission trips to Argentina, American Samoa, Ecuador, and many U.S. cities. At this time, several of our current members began attending our church and have shared some of their fondest memories.
About 20 years ago, we had a little lady in the church that actually lived in a very small camper, and she often had her great-grandkids that she cared for. Somebody in the church gifted her with a mobile home one year, and the church paid to have it put in a park. And then the women came together, and we not only painted and decorated it for her, we collected furniture for her, and we had the pantry stocked, and then we gave it to her on Christmas Eve. We had a party there. We had a Christmas tree and had presents under the tree for the kids, and it was really a great time for us to come together and celebrate Christ's birth.
Lives were changed. Healings and miracles were occurring for many families in our church and our community.
In 1995, I was in a car wreck and had back injury and ended up with three surgeries, which actually resulted in me being discharged from the military. In March of 2001, I was attending a service in which one of the evangelists who was specialized in teaching about healings, and in the middle of his sermon, he just stopped and he said, I don't know who this is for, but I believe that there is a woman in this sanctuary tonight that God wants to heal your back. When I walked down to the front of the sanctuary and he touched me, he said, this is for you. I remember when he touched me, the Holy Spirit, just the warmth that covered me, And I can say that is the most memorable because the very next day I was doing things that I hadn't done in 6 years.
From 2006 to 2011, Pastor Gene Hewitt led our church and continued with missions. Pastor Danny Duvall answered the call for pastorship during a difficult time with strength and commitment. For the next 6 years, the church developed a renewed focus for growth, relating, and serving. Under their ministry, they led the renovation of the youth building and the current sanctuary. Because of the foundations that have been laid by many of the former pastors, we are positioned under the leadership of Pastor Greg Sanders to see a future.
So the prophet said, who's here that saw it before? And he said, I want you to think about all of God's faithfulness. That's what I want us to do this morning. I want you to think of all God's faithfulness. I want you to remind you of what has happened before. And I want to ask you to notice something with me. The prophet does not say, number one, to forget the past. He doesn't say that. There's some people, when I talk to them, I think that they're telling me, you know, y'all, you just forget everything that's happened in the past. Just forget everything that's God done. Forget how church used to be. Forget those who paved the way. Forget all that stuff. Just completely forget the past. But I've also met those who kind of go the other way that actually just want to repeat the past. But he doesn't say to do that either. He doesn't say to forget it, and he doesn't say to repeat it. I believe the God word that he wants us to do today, and what the Lord spoke to my heart today, one of the reasons we're doing this service today, is not because we want to repeat the past or because we want to forget the past. It's because we want to build on the past, because we believe the best is yet to come for this church and for our lives and for your life this morning. Amen? We believe that today. God says to the people, I believe he's saying it to us this morning, that he's going to do a new thing, but on the same solid foundation. I mean, a new thing, but in the same place, on the same works. We're not trying to run from our past as a church. We're trying to build upon it because we know that God has the best for us in the future. I believe that for us as a church. I believe that for me as an individual, but I believe that for you too. If you walked in the doors this morning, you're convinced that your best days are behind you. I want you to know today that your future can be brighter, that your best days are in front of you as long as you're living them for Jesus. I believe that this morning. The best is yet to come for those that will follow Christ. Jennifer was doing some research for today, and you know, you don't get to pick and choose what people remember about you. Have you discovered that? If you didn't know that, let me just help you out this morning. Sometimes I'll go home and someone will say, Pastor, you know, you said that on Sunday morning. I'm like, you remember that. Out of everything I said for 30 minutes, that's what you choose to remember? So Jennifer was doing some research, and one of the stories that came up, and Brother Jenkins, you can confirm whether this is true or not, but the word was that sometime in the past, that someone thought it would be a great idea to add on to the church and in the addition put a bathroom in the foyer. And there was quite a revolt over the idea of having a bathroom attached to the same structure that you would worship in. Now, we've gotten over that, by the way. If you need the restroom, you know. But you know, that. So we're not here today to bring up old conflicts. We're not here to rehash what went right or what went wrong. But we are here today to ask the Lord, God, would you build upon everything that's ever been done here? And Lord, anything you've done here before, would you please do it again? And even more so, because we want to see more and more of the power of God, because we believe that the best is yet to come for you and for the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we want God to rebuild, and we want to see him do that. And you may be sitting there, so Pastor, how can I do that as a part of this church? Or how can I do that when I go back home to my church next week? Let me tell you three things that I think will work anywhere. Number one, always be thankful for those who built ahead of you. You never go wrong by honoring people. And we're so honored that these gentlemen and their spouses and so many of you that came back home with us this week, you know, the Bible says to pay honor to whom honor is due, and so we're just so thankful that you're here today. Speaking of paying honor, I would probably be remiss if I didn't just take 20 seconds and introduce all of our guests today to, some of you are wondering, how on earth did this guy ever become the pastor? Here's your answer. I want to ask my wife to stand up, and would you, baby, would you stand and just wave? I haven't taken time to, this is my wife, Megan, all right? But we believe in honoring folks, and you'll never go wrong by honoring what God's done before. Secondly, here's something else we can do, is we can work in partnership with those around us. I appreciate what Brother Harris said a few minutes ago about staying the course and staying involved in the Church of Jesus Christ, because, yes, the best is yet to come, but that best is brighter when we commit ourselves to serving God together. Amen? We are the body of Christ. We are the family of God, and we can do so much more together than we could ever do apart. And thirdly, here's something that we focus on all the time, is we've got to build for those who follow us. Amen? I'm with Brother Harris. I hope I'm preaching here till the rapture takes place. And I'm really, you know, whether that's today, tomorrow, or 20 years from today, my sentiment stays the same. But here's what I do know. If the Lord does move me on, or if I get to retire and someone else comes, whenever that is, I want to be part of building God's kingdom that reaches to the youngest and to the lost, not just to those who are like me and the saved alone. We got to build this thing for the generations that are coming and coming and coming and coming, because the best is yet to come. I'm here today because someone decided to let the church be something that was included me. And I'm so thankful for that. So we got to build for those who follow us. Here's the second thing I want to tell you this morning. Knowing the best is yet to come, let's remember that God always finishes what he starts. This is what I've covenanted with you, is what the word says in verse number 5. When you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you, do not fear. Here's what I've discovered. Anytime the word of God says that my spirit remains among you, the reason the word of God says that is often because there's something in front of you that makes the spirit of God seem absent. Every time you read the word of God, think about the birth of Jesus. Think about the scripture right here. Do not fear. Every time that phrase is in the word of God, do not fear, I am with you. You'll also see that the reason the word of God told people do not fear was because there was something very scary in front of them. Right? And so when Haggai says, remember, I am with you, remember that not to fear, he is reminding them that God always finishes what he starts. And just in prayer this morning before service, as we were gathered as a men's prayer group, I just felt the Lord prophetically speak to me. We prayed over this statement a few moments ago in our prayer meeting, is that there's some of you today that have walked in here and you feel like your life is at a dead end. You feel like you've walked in today and your best days are behind you. You feel like I've gone as far as I can go, that God's done as much as he can do, that there is no future for my life. There is no future for my family. There is no future for my ministry. But I want to tell you today that God always finishes what he starts. He didn't bring you this far to leave you, but he's going to finish every good work that he started in you. Amen? So we believe the best is yet to come because we believe that some of the seeds have been planted by some of the people on the screen earlier are going to start coming to fruition like never before. We believe that some of the efforts and some of the things have been driven into the ground of this soil, into the soil of this church, is going to start to take root like never before. We believe the best is yet to come because God always finishes what he starts. He asked the question, Haggai asked the question, how many of you were here when and saw the first temple? And then he asked, how does it look now? And by the way, the implied answer is this: not very good. That's the implied answer for Haggai's day. I mean, the first temple was built with fanfare and with unlimited resources, and now they have nothing to build with. They have no support. Everything that was speaking to them about their circumstances would let them believe that the best days are behind of them. But Haggai said, listen, God is with you. Do not fear, because helping you. How many of you discovered that God is an expert at filling our lack with plenty? God is an expert at filling our inability with His ability. Friends, I'm discovering that when I come to a dead end of the road, I'm just at the perfect place to discover what God can do in my life in a brand new way. And He asked the people, how does it look now? And the answer would be, well, not very good. But Haggai reminds them, listen, the gold is the Lord's. Every resource you have belongs to Him. Everything changes as it develop. Some of you have hung around this place for a little while, and you look different than you used to. Have any of y'all walked in this morning and saw someone you haven't seen in a while and thought, boy, they look different? Not better or worse. Don't be pointing fingers. Stop that. That's rude. We're in church. But they look different. Matter of fact, if you were to go 80 years and see someone, it's been eight. Number one, you'd be, I wasn't going to say that, but you would. You'd be old. But if you go 80 years between seeing someone and they look identical 80 years later than they did then, you would probably, in the back of your mind, the unspiritual ones of us, we would think something like this. They've had some work done. It's not natural for them to look the same today as they did back then. And some of you are the same way. Matter of fact, I brought you some pictures. Wow. They look different, don't they? Some of you are going to laugh, and I hope you're still laughing in a minute. He looks a little bit different. I never knew Brother Jerry had hair till this event. Hey, those guys look kind of different. Yeah. So we're not surprised that people look differently as they develop. So why should it bother us if the church looks a little bit different as it develops? Amen. That shouldn't bother us. I would challenge you like this. Don't get bothered if something in your life doesn't look the same. Don't get bothered if something in the church doesn't look the same. Don't get bothered if something in your family doesn't look the same. The important part to remember is this. God's still the same. His faithfulness is still the same. His Spirit is still the same. His promise is still the same. Our need for Him is still the same. Our promise for Him is still the same. And He's still the same God that delivers today. Amen? He's still the same. The best is yet to come, even if things don't look like they used to. Thirdly, this morning I remind you to never doubt that God is your source. Knowing the best is yet to come, never doubt that God is your source. Verse number 8, the Lord just kind of goes on this tear about, hey, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. The glory of the present house be better or greater than the former house. In this place I'll grant peace. Sometimes, I know you're not like this, but sometimes I'm an expert at telling God why He can't do something. I mean, the Lord told them, the glory of this former house will be greater than the glory of the latter house. And then He immediately begins to tell them, the gold is mine, the silver is mine, the glory is mine. You know why He began to tell them those things? Because there was someone just like me in the crowd who was already telling the Lord why He couldn't do what God was saying He was going to do. Have you ever told God He can't do what He wants to do? Moses did. You know, the Lord told Moses, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. And the Lord said, Lord, not me. I can't talk straight. I get my tangle all tongued up, and I'll be here forever. I can't do anything for you. But listen, our ability has never been a limitation for the power of God. Our capacity is not a problem for God to work in and work beyond. The best is yet to come, not because you and I are rock stars, but because He is faithful and because He is our source and because He always keeps His word and He's always able to do what He promises He's going to do. Listen, I've only been in town for a year this month. And Brother Bell, maybe I shouldn't admit this, But I've already prayed more than once, Lord, if you don't help me out, I am sunk. I actually used a less spiritual word than sunk, but you couldn't handle that word. So I was messed up. And no one wants to be in a place where they have to pray, God, if you don't help us, I'm in trouble. But I'm so thankful to know that when I pray that prayer, that I'm never really sunk and I'm never really in trouble, because he is able to make us abound abundantly in every situation, because he's the God who supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen? So knowing the best is yet to come, your favorite part of this message is going to be this as I close. Knowing the best is yet to come, number four, contend for God's best. Said the glory of the present will be greater than the glory of the former. God desires, I hope we hear this before we go back home. God desires for his glory to increase. See, God increasing his glory upon this church is not about me and it's not about you. It's about him. He desires that his glory increase, that his name will be known, that his fame will go abroad, and that more and more people will hear about the goodness of the God that we serve, because we know it's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. So God wants his glory to expand and multiply. He says the glory of this house is going to multiply. There's a last day promise of Acts 2 we read earlier. But we got to contend for it. Sometimes I fear we give up on God's best. And by doing so, we miss out on his best. We don't receive what he wants to deliver because we don't contend for it. This past week, we were trying to figure out how we were going to hang 1,000 balloons and get them in the center of this room without blocking your view of all this. And so, you know, we thought, well, we can hang the string and but then they're going to block the projectors. And we were up there and we were studying that. And finally, you know, after a few minutes, I just said, well, plan B. Obviously, we can't hang it here. It's going to mess stuff up. Plan B. We'll hang it here. We'll hang it there and all this. And then, you know, Jackson spoke up and said, don't worry about it, Pastor. We're going to do this. I'm going to slide it and we're going to slide it back. And I was like, wow, you know, almost messed up because I moved on to plan B. Sometimes I feel like we move on to plan B too quick. I used to tell teenagers, I was a youth pastor for 15 years, and I'm about to get in trouble, and you can get over it, but we've had a lot of people called into ministry from our youth groups and from our churches we pastored, and there was always this well-meaning parent in the back who would say this to their child. Now, son, daughter, you need to go ahead and get your degree or get your skill in some other area of your life, because it's always good to have a plan B. Listen, God doesn't need your plan B. He doesn't need your plan B. That's not just for kids that's thinking about going to the ministry. It's for every adult in this room, whether you're 18 or 88. God doesn't need your plan B. What he needs you to do is contend for the plan that he's put in your heart. And friends, if you'll contend for that, he will be faithful to his word every single time. He doesn't need a plan B. He's got his plan for your life. And that plan is not in the past. The best is yet to come for you. Whether you're 18 or 88, the best is yet to come. You have not lived past God's greatest plan for your life. So let's contend for his best. I know there's times when it seems like, well, the best is over. I mean, it had to feel that way on the day of the crucifixion when Jesus breathed his last breath. But guess what? That wasn't the end. It had to feel that way when they placed him in a tomb, but that wasn't the end. It had to feel that way on the day of Pentecost, but we know that there was more for them, that God had more for them, that there was more to come than they could ever imagine. And friends, I believe that's the same God we serve today. There's still more to come than we could ever imagine and more than we could ever see. So let's contend for that. Amen? No eye has seen, No ear has heard. No heart can imagine what God wants to do in us. But let's contend for what he can imagine. And let's contend for what he may speak to us next. And let's contend to see happen what he says can happen in our lives. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Sister Kim's going to come and get ready to play for us today as we close in prayer. We're so thankful you're here today because we believe the best is yet to come, not just for this church, but for every church that's represented here, for every ministry that's represented here, for every family that's in the room today, for every single person and every individual. We believe that the best is yet to come for you and your life as well. And I want to pray over that before we change gears this morning. Here's the first question I want to ask in this moment. The first question I want to ask, I want to begin by making a statement. Here's the statement. The best life begins when you decide to live that life for Jesus. So today, if you're not following Jesus, if you haven't made him your personal Savior and Lord, if he's not the leader of your life, if you've not declared that, Lord, I'm going to follow you, the best way you can honor Jesus and embark on the best life ever is by committing your life today to Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that before, or perhaps you did years ago and your relationship with God has been dormant, but today you say, Pastor, I need to get things right with God. I want God's best for my life, and today I'm not living for him. Listen, that best doesn't come until we align our lives with him and say, Lord, lead me, and I'm going to follow you into the best life possible. Jesus said that I've come that you may have life and life abundant, life to the full. In this moment, you say, Pastor, I need to make that decision today. I'm not following Jesus in this moment, but I need to start following him today. Would you just lift a hand real quick and say, pray for me, Pastor? Amen. Amen. Who else today? Amen. Amen. Several hands. Who else today? So thankful that John wrote those words that if we're faithful to confess our sins, that he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from everything that's not right. And this morning, if you lift your hand, listen, the Lord wants to start leading you into an abundant life, into a new life. And we're going to celebrate with you today, and we're going to pray with you today as you make a commitment. I want to say one more thing. I've said it 100 times, so let me say it one more time. Repeating a prayer never changed anything. But saying a prayer from your heart can change everything. We believe that this can be a moment that changes everything for you. If you'll pray the prayer I'm about to pray, and you'll pray it from your heart. Congregation, I want to ask every person in this room to say this prayer out loud with me as we say it with our friends who are giving their lives to Christ. I don't know of any way celebrating 80 years than to celebrate with someone starting their life with Christ this morning. There's no greater. This is the fanfare. This is the celebration. So let's pray together.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.